We asked Katie to sing that song because it is it's a perfect theme song, really, for what we're talking about during this 40 days together. That is our goal, that he would just draw us near to him. We're going to think together about draw near. And this morning, I want us to begin that journey together by discovering why we draw near. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, join me in James chapter 4. We're going to look at basically one verse. We'll do a little context, but basically one verse, James chapter 4 and verse 8, as we think together about why we draw near. You know, we get all kinds of different invitations. Maybe you get a wedding invitation that excites you. And maybe you get an invitation to a ribbon-cutting ceremony downtown that is okay, you know. And maybe you get an invitation to that reunion of weird people that you'd really rather not go to, you know. We get all kinds of invitations. Some are great and some are not. Well, this morning I want to show you what may be one of the greatest invitations that you'll ever receive. What an awesome and powerful, meaningful opportunity we have. Look with me, James chapter 4 at verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I'm hoping that by the time we're done with these 40 days, you'll have that memorized. James 4, 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It is an awesome invitation. The invitation is, come near. Draw near to God. Now, I can't wait to jump into this text with you because that is so exciting. But just think with me for a moment. That invitation from a holy God to sinful people, from the creator of all that exists to members of his creation, from an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God to us in our frailties, our failures. He says to us, draw near to me. What an awesome invitation. I want us to think about what it is to be near to him, to draw near, to receive and accept his invitation. And the first thing that we notice this morning is that nearness requires movement. Nearness requires movement. Movement. He says, draw near. In other words, take a step. Make a motion. Make a decision. Make a commitment. Move toward me. And here's why that's so important. Because very few of us in the room today ever intentionally turned our backs on God and said, I don't want to spend time with you. I don't like you anymore. I don't believe you. Very, very few of us have ever been in that place. But if we're honest, probably every one of us has experienced what we call the drift. And that is where God invites us to draw near to him, and we start out so close and so happy and so excited, and then there's stress at work, and we keep thinking about what's going on at work, and we struggle with that, and then we've got family problems that draw us over here, and then we get really into baseball, you know, and we love to go to the baseball games, and we have our hobbies, and then our kids get into baseball, and they drag us all over the state, going all over everywhere. We have a game every night, and then we get, and we wake up, and we've drifted. We didn't intentionally, we never told God, I don't like you, I don't want to hang out with you. All we did was live our lives, and we got busy in our lives, and because we got busy in our lives, we drifted. And now the invitation comes. Draw near. All you have to do is turn and start your way back. And we hear the promise, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Or James said it in third person, you draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. In other words, as soon as you begin the movement back to him, he is there eager and ready and willing to bring you on home. This is the essence of prayer. Prayer is not a religious activity as much as it is communication with someone who wants us to be close to him. We're not even praying in order to gain his favor or to convince him to help us or to ask his, to beg his permission to interact with him. He wants it. Prayer is just responding to the invitation. Draw near, and he will draw near to you. If you feel far from God today, the question is not, where did God go? The question is, which direction are you moving in? Because God never moved. It helps me to understand it when I picture a grandfather. Isn't that interesting? I used to would have said I picture a dad, but now I picture a grandfather sitting on the back porch, and this is his place. He loves to go out on the back porch with his little grandson. When grandson was young, grandson would climb up in grandpa's lap, and they would sit, and they would talk, and they would cuddle, and they would laugh, and they would tickle, and oh, they had the best time right there on the back porch. And then before long, little boy grew up a little bit, and so now he would like to run up and down those stairs. So he'd run down out into the yard, and then he'd run back up to grandpa and get a hug, and then he'd run down, and then he'd run back. And then he grew a little bit more, and now he plays in the yard more than he's on the porch. Grandpa, watch me on the swing. Grandpa, look what I can do. And then he grows a little bit more, and it kind of gets to where he's not even in the yard very often. And now all of a sudden they're not close like they used to be. But who changed? Grandpa's still sitting in the same chair on the same back porch wanting the same thing. This is why we draw near. Because if we don't intentionally, purposefully decide to draw near, then what happens is life interrupts and interferes and we drift. So the invitation is to consciously, intentionally decide, I am going to draw near to God because I know he wants me to and I want it. Nearness requires movement. Moses is walking along in the wilderness out there, and there's a bush over there that catches on fire, but it doesn't burn up. It kind of catches Moses' attention. What did Moses do? The Bible adds a phrase that says he walked over to the bush. He made a motion. He took a step. This is God's invitation. Draw near to him. Take that step, and he will draw near to you. Psalm 73 and verse 28 reminds us of the psalmist's perspective when he learned this. Look how the psalmist learned it and expressed it. For me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of all your works. The psalmist sings a song. I drew near and I found my refuge, and it's good to be near God. Could that be your song this morning? I have found my way to him and I love my life near to him. You see, nearness requires movement. But also, we want to understand that nearness is relational. not ritual. Particularly when it comes to prayer, because you and I, we kind of tend to make a common mistake of thinking there is some right way to pray. And because I don't know the right way, I'm not good at it. And since I'm not good at it, I don't know if I should even waste God's time. When in reality, we are not called to a ritualistic prayer. It's not that we have to know the right words in the right order. There's not a checklist of things that we have to do in order to pray. It is that I want to have a relationship with God that is near. Therefore, I'm going to talk to Him and listen to Him. That is the essence of prayer. Prayer is relational. It's not ritual. We don't draw near to God to get on His good side. We draw near to Him because Jesus has already made a way for us to do that, and God welcomes us. Hebrews chapter 4 and 16 speaks of that very thing. Let us then be with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that verse. Look at it very carefully again. Let us then with confidence draw near. We can come to Him confidently. Let us with confidence draw near. And notice as well that we are not coming to a throne of judgment. This is for believers, and this is for our current life. Therefore, we are not coming to a throne of judgment in this verse. We're coming to a throne of grace. That's why we can come confidently, because it's not based on who I am or what I've done. It's based on Him and His character and His faithfulness. He says, come, I want you here. There's a famous photograph that you may have seen somewhere along the way. It's a photograph of the, I think they call it the Resolute Desk in the Oval Office. And behind that desk sits the President of the United States. In this particular photograph, it's President Kennedy is sitting behind that desk in the Oval Office. Here is a picture of the most powerful man in the world, arguably, and he's at the place of that power. And it's an incredible picture, not just because President Kennedy is sitting behind that historic desk, but also because in the front of that desk, there is a panel that has been slided, that is open. And that panel that has been opened shows a little boy in that little cubby hole in the front of the desk. The little boy is Kennedy's son, John John. And here is President Kennedy sitting at the Resolute Desk in the Oval Office, and then right at his feet underneath there is little John John playing. Now I got to thinking, they call me John John. Maybe I go over to the White House. Maybe I go in the Oval Office. Maybe I crawl under the President's desk. You can tell how silly that is, because they're not even going to let me on the grounds, much less in the Oval Office, much less under the desk. What's the difference? I don't have a right to be there. John John had every right to be there because his daddy was at that desk. This is what the writer of Hebrews means when it says we can then come with confidence to the throne of grace, because Jesus has already paid the price for our sin. When we come to Him, we are adopted into God's family, and as His children, we are welcomed to the throne of grace. We draw near with confidence. So understand, prayer is not figuring out the right thing to say as much as it is accepting the fact that God is inviting you to His presence. The way has been made, and you can come with confidence to be with Him. Third, I hope you'll notice with me this morning that nearness is available for everyone. Nearness is available for everyone. I notice when I read James' description of this awesome invitation, he says, draw near, and God will draw near to you. There's no limitation. There's no restrictions placed on it. It is just that invitation. You is implied. You draw near, and God will draw near to you. So who is the you? He doesn't ever say, you've got to get your stuff figured out so that you'll be good enough to enter God's presence. So go get everything figured out and then draw near. It's not that you have to make sure that you're a part of this church or that church, or you wear this label or that label in order to verify that you have a right to come. It's just an open invitation to all who believe in Christ. Draw near. We're the ones who put all those other limitations on there. We think we've got to get cleaned up first. But the promise is draw near. We think we have to understand everything first, and the invitation is draw near. You draw near, and God will draw near to you. The invitation is for everyone who will come. Psalm 145 and verse 18 says it so powerfully. The Lord is near to all. If you like to write in your Bible, this is a perfect place to circle that little word. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. The Lord is near to all who will come near. That's a little word that packs a big punch. Nearness is available to all, to everyone. And then notice that nearness is based on a promise. Draw near to God is the invitation. But that invitation is backed up with a promise. Draw near to God, and the promise, God will draw near to you. There's a structure there. Draw near to God. He draws near to you. The initiative is ours. We have to decide, I don't want to just drift through life anymore. I'm going to turn and I'm going to come back to the Father. I'm going to trust in him. The initiative is ours to turn toward him. But we know that as soon as we do, he is there. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. There's an immediate response from God when he sees that we're putting our faith in him enough to turn back to him and leave the drift. He is immediately present and near to us. It's the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son left everything he had, everything he had been given. He did things his way. And then I love the phrase in that story. It's in Luke 15. I love the phrase in that story where he's in the pig pen. He's in the muck and the yuck and the, yeah. And he says, the Bible says, and he came to himself. He realized what he was doing and what he could have instead of what he was doing. And once he came to himself, he got up and he started home. And what did Dad do? Dad is sitting on the porch with his arms crossed, looking down his nose. You stink like pigs. Go take a bath. Go get cleaned up first. Show me that respect. Or the Bible actually says that the Father saw him coming, which by the way means he was watching for it to happen. He saw him coming and ran to greet him. Draw near to God. God will draw near to you. Nearness is based on a powerful promise. And as we see all of that come together, understand that nearness happens in prayer. The way we experience this nearness, the way we draw near to God, so he draws near to us. The way that happens in our regular everyday lives is through prayer. When you came in this morning, hopefully you received a brochure that walks you through all the stuff that we talked about, all the different elements of this campaign that we're embarking on today. You also received a card. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But then you also received a bookmark. And that bookmark is the framework for everything we're doing over the 40 days. And I hope it becomes a framework for your prayer life from now on. Because you don't have to figure out what words to say when you pray. You can think of it in this simple term, and it'll guide your prayers every time. Just think of the word draw. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. So think about the word draw. D stands for delight in the Lord. And that means we start our prayer talking about him. We start the prayer not coming in trying to trick him or trying to ask him for stuff or trying to get something. We come in to a relationship, and in that relationship, we honor him first. Jesus did that when he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. We delight in the Lord first. And then R is repent and be restored. Again, Jesus' model followed that. He says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us. There is that confession. There is a time of acknowledging. God, first, I delight in the Lord. I recognize you for your holiness. You are awesome. And as I think about how great you are, I realize how I have let you down. I realize my sin. And so I ask you to forgive me. Help me to repent. Now that the relationship is right, now that I see God for who he is, I see me for who I am, we've repaired our relationship, we've done all of that with just D and R, now I'm ready to ask in faith. Because chances are I'll be asking for the right things in the right ways because my relationship has been restored. Delight in the Lord, repent, and be restored, ask in faith, and then walk with him. We talked. I talked with the kids earlier about how I could call Ashley on the phone if I needed to. After I was through with that phone call, I would most likely say, all right, well, you be careful. I love you. Bye. We say bye, and we hang up. So many of us misunderstand the word amen. We think that at the end of our prayer, when we say amen, we're saying goodbye and hanging up. And then we put God away until we need him the next time. Instead, remember the W of draw. We're going to draw near to him means delight in him, get right with him, ask him for things in faith, and then walk with him. So amen is not goodbye, I'm done. Amen is literally, it means let it be. It means, Lord, your will be done. And now walk with me the rest of the day. Let's walk together. Paul calls that to pray without ceasing. You never stop praying. So all day long, you stay in a connection with God. You're not necessarily praying words to him all day long, but you also are not putting him on the back burner so you can do other things and start that drift again. You're staying connected to him all day long. Delight, repent, and be restored. Ask in faith and walk in him. Hang on to that bookmark. Maybe put it in your Bible. Let that guide your prayer from now on. It's an easy way to remember how to draw near to him. And then when you came in, you also received this card. This is what we call the Daily 408. And what that means is at 408, I'm suggesting PM. If you're one of those people that gets up before the sun does, I don't understand you, but that's okay. You can pray at 408 AM if you want to. The rest of us are going to be praying at 4:08 p.m. But the idea is simple. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So at 4:08, we're going to stop what we're doing. Doesn't mean slam on the brakes on I-35. But figuratively, spiritually, we're going to stop and focus at 4:08, all of us, so that there's a unity happening. That at that moment, we know our entire church family is drawing near to God. We just stop, we voice a prayer, we make sure we're focused on it. We just connect with God intentionally every day at 4:08 with a short prayer. On the back of that card, there's an opportunity for you to commit to the daily 4:08. I'm not going to ask you to turn these in. This is just yours. It's a reminder. But I would encourage you, if you're willing to make this commitment, that for 40 days, every day at 4:08, I'm going to pause and draw near to God. If you're willing to do that, go ahead and sign it and date it with today's date. This is a commitment you're making to yourself and to the Lord. And then hold on to that card. Maybe put it somewhere where it'll be a reminder for you. I want to invite you and encourage you to stop and pray, to draw near to him every day at 4:08. We're beginning a journey together. And I have a feeling that this journey very well might change some of our lives. I think it's going to change our church. The idea is simple. There's an awesome invitation. The invitation is available to anyone. Trust enough to draw near to him, to want a relationship with him, not a ritual prayer life, but draw near in a relationship. And the guaranteed promise is he's not going to overlook that. He is going to draw near to you. God, we pray that you'd help us to experience that very thing. Lord, thank you for the promise. Thank you for the price that was paid in order to enable you to fulfill that promise. Because we know sin separates, so our sin would have kept us from you. But Jesus paid for the sin, therefore we can relate to you again. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to kind of do some self-evaluation, like the prodigal son. Help us to come to ourselves, to see if we are drifting or to see if we're drawing near. Lord, would you help us to be honest with ourselves and with you in this very moment by the power of your Holy Spirit? Speak to every heart, every mind. Draw us to yourself and help us to respond, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.